Hebrews for just a little bit, and we're looking at something. We're really going to be looking at some evidences that there is a God. Now you say, now what are you telling us that for? Because you need to go out and tell other people this, and you need to help people to understand this. Some people have had kind of lit the idea that, you know, when you find somebody that says they're an atheist or say they don't believe in God, you just kind of back up from them and run away. Or do the sign of the cross or something, you know. Get away from them. Don't do that. Help those people to see that there is a God. Help them to understand and reason in a very simple way. And that's all we're going to do today. The Hebrew writer wrote his book trying to help people to understand that we're going to become unfaithful, it seemed like. He writes his letter. In the first verse of Hebrews, the third chapter, he talks there about the beloved brethren. So he's talking to those that are members of the church. And he's trying to help those people that are members of the church to remain faithful. Some of these people were Jewish people, and they were going back to Judaism because Christianity didn't give them what they thought they wanted. It didn't give them what they thought they were going to get out of it. They were looking for something, maybe something totally different. They were looking for this political power that the Jews are supposed to have coming through the church. Maybe they were looking for what they could gain as far as what they could benefit from the church in money or in effort and all those things. But it wasn't there for them. And maybe they just got tired of it and they wanted to go back. People don't like new things. We generally drift right back to the same old thing. You ever try to change a habit? And if you're not careful, you'll catch yourself going right back over here where you were before. Well, see, that's what was happening to these people. They were going back to Judaism. And the Hebrew writer was trying to help them to understand, you don't need to do that. And you shouldn't do that. Stay in Christianity because that's where God wants you. And so what he's trying to do is help those people to recognize this in a great way. And he's trying to teach them this. And so he starts here and he says, I want you to know, I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. And that's Jesus Christ. Don't forget about Jesus Christ is what he's trying to say. Don't neglect him. But there's something in here that I want us to look at that is just, you know, the Word of God is a double-edged sword. It comes this way, cutting, but it also can go back the other way. And in stating here something that we have just basically now figured out, that God is in control. And we need to understand that. In verse 4, listen to what he said. For every house is built by someone, but he that built all things is God. He's saying there's a God, and you need to follow him. He's the builder, he's the maker, he's the constructor of it all. How did we get this old world that we live in? How did it come into being? Some people tell us, well, it came into being because of this inanimate matter that came together, and all of a sudden there was a big bang, and now we've got this world. Or another view that some people have fostered a long, long time ago is not as popular today as it has been. There's still a great deal of the teaching going around, and it is that man has evolved over the years. Over the years, man's got better and better and better, and here he was created, and so here he is getting better all the time through the evolutionary process, and certainly there's things that might lean us to think about that just a little bit. But I want to show you what the Bible says that's so true today. I want us to understand how important it is that we recognize this. And what we're going to do today is look at why we need to believe in the existence of God. And I think it's important that we recognize that and we see that. First of all, we need to understand that there's things atheists cannot explain away. And we want to look at those things today and pay attention to this. This is simple. It's not complicated. It's very simple for us to understand. There's things that they cannot explain. Now, first of all, atheists cannot explain morality. Why is it wrong to kill somebody? Why is it wrong to steal? Why is it wrong to commit adultery? Why is it wrong to do all these things that society tells us that we shouldn't do? And that basically within man, we know that. Every society has rules and regulations. Every society has things that they say are right and wrong. Now, one of the biggest problems that I think atheists have is the idea of morality. Being moral. Where did all that come from? Why is it wrong to kill? Why is it wrong to murder? Why is it wrong to do those things? And you say, wait, don't say that. Well, yes, I think we need to ask that question. Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong to do those things? We've got to understand that. We've got to understand that if there was no God, there is no morality. There's no right or wrong. If God's not in the picture, you can do whatever you want to. If you see somebody you don't like, just shoot them. Stab them. Blow them up. If there's no God, what's the difference? Who's to say that that's wrong? That might be right. If we live in a world where there's not that moral basic that's there, but we have that. We have morality. Because we have morality, I want to suggest to you, we're saying there is a God. Because in every one of us, there's things that are right and things that are wrong. Now, Jeffrey Dahmer, a young man who murdered several people and ate those people. And I'm talking about literally ate them. He believed that there was no God. He believed that there was no right or wrong. Well, was it wrong for him to eat those people? Well, if that's true, no. It wasn't wrong. Was it wrong for him to kill those people? No. If there's no God, it wasn't wrong. But there is a God. And we have to understand that that God says these things are wrong. And it's not a matter of what society says. It's not a matter of what we all think, but it's a matter of God stating that this is wrong, and we need to understand that. There was an atheist that went to an abortion clinic, and to justify the people that were there, he said, listen, doing away with these babies is nothing more than just like stepping on a bug. It's just like stepping on a bug. You got this roach running across the floor, and you just go, and hear him crunch. Don't you like to hear that? You just crunch him, you know. Is that wrong? Well, no, that's a bug. What about if it's a baby? Just stomp that baby in the ground. Abort that baby. What's wrong with that? Let me tell you something. If there is no God, it's not wrong. But if there is a God, it is wrong to do that. You say, well, is it wrong to step on the bug? Yeah, it's a bug. It's not a person. And there's a difference there. Have you noticed the commercials? They're changing as far as animals are concerned. They're now a part of your family. And I understand that. I recognize that. Nothing wrong with that. But what we've got to do is to understand there's a difference between an animal and a human being. There's a big difference. What's the difference? God. Because God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. Now, I like animals. They don't have souls. They don't. Now, if they do, let's find out what it says in the Bible. But see, what we've got to do is to understand the conclusion of this. No atheist would go in and say, what you need to do is just, you know, there's no difference between a bug and a baby. This fella did, but most atheists would not say that. Because they know how it sounds to you, the society, and then you would not believe in what they want you to believe in. You would not follow what they want you to follow. We've got to understand the difference there. Is it wrong for a mother to take her children, put them in a car, push it off in a river or a creek or something? Heard of a lady a few years ago, she took hers and dropped them off of a bridge. Is that wrong? Yes. Why is it wrong? Because God said, do not kill those babies. It's wrong, and we know that it's wrong. Society knows that it's wrong. But we're being sold a bill of goods that really it's nothing but just, you know, it's no big thing. Don't worry about it. Let me tell you something. We better worry about it. We need to be concerned about it. Concerned about it in a great way. There's some things that just ought not to be. And a mama ought not to kill her babies. That's just wrong. And it should not be. The world is really trying to help us to see a different picture of this, because it justifies whatever you do. It makes right whatever you want to do. We're under a law. Now, years ago, in Germany, World War II, during that war, they killed a lot of people. We talk about how 6,000 Jews were killed. That's terrible. Let me tell you something. There were more German people killed than that. They killed their own. They killed their own. If you were a person and you were born with a birth defect, you were not effective. So what you did is you got rid of that person. You killed this one or that one. If they disagreed with you, then you could kill them. If there was something physically wrong with them, you could kill them. At the end of World War II, they had a trial in Nuremberg. They brought several of those generals and several of those people that were in charge. Could not bring Hitler because he had taken his own life. But they brought them there, and they had a court in the world court. The people said it was right, according to the law of Germany, that they could kill people. Their law said that they could do it, and the law did say they could do it. So if the law says you can do it, it's all right to do it. And then the other people were saying there, well, listen, you know, it's according to the times that they were living in. They could do that. Now, listen to this statement. A fellow named Robert Jackson was the prosecutor. This is the statement that he made. And I want you to hear this. There is a higher law. Remember that. There is a higher law which transcends the provincial and the transient. He said, there is a law that is above the government. There is a law that is above the German government. And that law says what they did was wrong. And it was not right. And it should not have been done. Evidently, those people there believed that, because those people were taken out, that were convicted and hanged. They took their life. Because they had broken the law of God. It wasn't just the law of man, but it was the law of God that they had broken. They had gone against that. And so here is a higher law than man's law. In the United States, we can say that homosexuality is okay. But God has a law that's higher than that. In this United States, we can say that a baby can be killed. But let me tell you something. God has a law that's higher than that, and he says it's wrong. We have to understand that. And because of morality, we've got to recognize that there is a God. Morality says there is someone that is above us. And that someone above us is trying to help us to know the right way to go. And trying to teach us the right way to go. And is placed within the heart of everybody a law. Do you know even criminals have a law? You don't squeal on anybody. Saw one, I don't know whether it's true or not, on a movie the other day, where it said, you don't shoot your enemy when he's eating with his family. You say, that's kind of a crazy thing, you know. I'm not saying that they're sensible. I'm just saying they have a law. Everybody within them knows what's right and knows what's wrong. Even the criminal knows, don't steal from me. I don't like people when they steal from me. But now look at how man can turn it around, that I can steal from you, but you can't steal from me. See, that's really saying there is no law. And you can do whatever you want to. But there is a law. It is the law of God. And we need to recognize and we need to follow that law of God. Second thing I want us to see here. We need to understand and we need to recognize that atheists cannot explain away life. Where'd you come from? How'd you get here? Well, you know, it was over a million years and you were this little thing in a mud hole and you came out and you started walking and you saw this other little thing and y'all got together and before long y'all had these little babies and they were looking better than you and the next babies looked better than you and the next babies looked better than you. Is that where we get this thing where grandparents think that their grandkids are always the prettiest? I don't know. I'll throw that one out. That's one you got to think about. Or could it be what they said? It's just a big bang happened, and all of a sudden, man. Let me tell you something. It's either God created us. God either created us, or we don't know how we got here. It certainly isn't from matter. Now, I meant to get two rocks today and have them up here. Now, here you got, just suppose I got two rocks here. I got rock in this hand. I got a rock in this hand. Now, I'm going to ask Gary. Gary, which one of these rocks is a male and which one's a female? Oh, okay. He said ask somebody else. There are no male and there are no female rocks. You know why? Because they're inanimate objects. They're material things. They don't have babies. But to believe what people want us to believe today, they're telling us that two rocks created man. Two inanimate objects that don't have life, that don't have skin, that don't have anything, that man came from those things. You think coming from a monkey's bed, what if you came from a rock? You see, I know some people are that hard-headed. Don't go there. But you've got to understand, that's what people are telling us. Now, they won't bring it down that simple and that silly for us to look at, but that's what it is. If we were created out of an inanimate matter that did not have life, what's the difference between a male and a female rock? And they got together and had little babies, and they weren't pebbles either. They were babies with a little skin on them. And then these two babies got with the other two babies, and they had a little more skin on them. And before long, you could look down and say, that was my mama right there. I just kicked my toe on. Now you say, that's the silliest stuff I've ever heard in my life. That's exactly right. Because to have life, it comes from life. Now where's the life coming from? We've got a universe that is a vacuum. It doesn't have any air in it. When our astronauts go up there, they've got to have a way to breathe. That's one of the first things they had to figure out. How are we going to breathe? I guess the second thing was, how do I go to the bathroom up there? I don't know about that. But how do I breathe? I got to have that. We've got to understand that we've got a God that created us. We came from life. We didn't come from nothing. From nothing, you get nothing. But we have life about us. It had to come from life. Where'd the life come from? Somebody says, well, it was that big bang that went off there years and years ago, and it just kind of blew all this stuff around, and it all happened. Let me tell you something. Where'd the bang come from? Who set that thing off? How did it do all that? You see, we've got to understand, we don't want to go and just be silly. And I know some of you may think, that's the craziest sermon I've ever heard in my life, talking about male and female rock. What is wrong with him? I want you to understand this. I want you to understand how silly it really is. And I want you to understand not how silly it is to believe in God, but how reasonable it is to believe that we were created by a heavenly being, by God. Genesis 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Exodus 20 and verse 11, it talks there about how that God in 6 days created us. Or 20 and 1, not 11. That God in 6 days created us. Somebody said, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. Is it sillier than believing you came from a rock? Is it sillier to believe that you just happened and you're really an accident? And you know, what gets me, if we had things that were happening that way and we could have inanimate matter really creating animate matter, we could have no life creating life, why can't we see it today? Why did it stop? Why did it stop when it did that the first time? Why aren't we being different? Now somebody says, oh, we are different. We're getting taller. We're getting fatter, but that hasn't got a thing to do with evolution. That's got a thing to do with the refrigerator. We're not changing that much. We're not changing that much. But we do not have matter, inanimate matter, a rock, creating other human beings today. Now, it sounds more reasonable to me, and I know I'm a preacher, and I know that I'm supposed to believe this, but let me tell you something. It doesn't make any difference. Common sense says, listen, when God created man, he breathed into man's nostrils. He became a living soul. That's not hard to believe for me. That's reasonable. That's honest with what's being said here. Now, listen to this. There is a law called the law of thermodynamics. It's a simple law. It's saying that you have something that starts and it's going to dwindle down. It's kind of like this. You take a little top and you start spinning a little top. And if those things are balanced just right, they'll spin for a long time. All of us have done that. If you hadn't, you need to try it. I can spin a lot of things. Drives Linda crazy too sometimes. But you start that top and it's spinning and it looks like it's going to keep on going forever. But the top starts slowing down. And it slows down and it slows down. And then all of a sudden it starts kind of going and it falls over and the whole top just spins around. That's the second law of thermodynamics. That's that law that says it's going to start, but it's going to dwindle down. Now, scientists have now found out, that really this world is dwindling down. It's like a clock that's been wound up, and it's going down. And one of these days, it's going to run out. Now, you look at this book here. That's exactly what it says. This is exactly what this book says. It helps us to understand that. That this world was started, but this world is going to diminish. Now, listen if you would at Hebrews, the first chapter, and verse 10. It's talking about God. And again, it's doing this twice cut thing. It's talking about God and how God is the foundation of it all. And God is eternal. Now listen to this. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the works of your hand. They will perish. What's that? God, you've laid the foundation of the world. You've laid the foundation of everything. You've done it with your hands. They're going to diminish. You need to understand that they will perish, verse 11. But you remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed. But you, God, you are the same and your years will not fail. Did you see what he's saying there? He's saying, God, you're eternal. But now what about the world you're living in? He said, it's going down. One of these days, the world's going to end. I don't know when it's going to be. You know, we just missed one with the Mayan calendar. I don't know why they blame the Mayans for this. They said, was it December something? We were supposed to, all the world was going to end. And there'll be some person will come up with another time it's going to end. I don't know when it's going to be. Nobody knows when it's going to be. In fact, the Bible says only God knows. But what he's saying here is we've got to understand that one of these days, this old world is just going to end. It's going to stop. It's been wound up. That's scientific. You can prove that. That's what people have said. That's what our scientists are saying nowadays, most of them, that this world is going down. Here is God is the one that started it. Somebody had to spin that top first. It didn't start on its own. It can't do that. What was that? That was God. That was God that did it. So if you want to explain to an atheist, you just take a top and spin it and say, now look at that. See how it's getting slower and slower and slower? That tells me that there's a God. There is a God and he's over it all. Now, look at this next point. Got to hurry up and get through here. Atheists cannot, they just cannot explain the world, They can't explain the universe that we live in. They can't explain exactly how this started. Now, nowadays, you know, used to evolution was the big thing. Now it's the Big Bang. It all started with that Big Bang thing. Nobody's explained where that came from. Nobody's explained how that happens. Nobody can do that. But what we've got to do is to understand that this world is here. This world attests that there is a God. All right, look at this. This is a little button thing. You know, that says that there's a creator of this. It's too complex to have created itself. This watch I have said that there was a watchmaker. These shoes that I've got on said that there was a shoemaker. This suit that I've got on said there was a person who made suits. Now listen to this. This life I have said that there was a life giver. It was a life giver. If you go to the Bible can tell you who that life giver is. It's God. Just as you can look at your shoes and know somebody had to make them. You looked at your watch, you know somebody had to make them. You look at your clothes, you know somebody had to make them. You look at your world, somebody had to make it. You look at your life and God had to make it. Only thing, we can't do anything else. God is the creator of it all. God is the one that made every bit of it. And we've got to understand that. That's something we've got to recognize. Now, the final point we need to recognize. There's a group of people called agnostics. Now they're saying we're not sure that there is a God, but we're not sure there's not a God. We're not real sure about that. Well, let me tell you something. Look at the evidence and make a decision. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, listen to these words. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. To say if you're not sure if there is a God or not a God, I'm telling you, you're a fool. You're overlooking the evidence. You're not looking at the evidence that is before you. The evidence before you says that there is a creator. The Bible helps us to understand who that creator is. Now, all these created things do not say it's God, but we open up the Bible and we understand that. In the beginning, God created this. The Bible says God is the creator of it. And God is the one that made the world we're living in. Turn with me to Romans, if you will, and I just want to hit this as we're going by. In Romans, the first chapter, the Roman writer is trying to help the people there to understand about belief. He's talking to the Jews and he's talking to the Gentiles. He wants both of them to understand about this. Somebody, like some people, will say, well, now, wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute, Paul. What about people that have never heard the gospel? What about people that they don't know that there's a God? What about those people? Will they be in judgment? Oh, I'm sorry, Charles, you didn't know anything about me. You can go on into heaven. Now, listen to this. He starts helping them to understand the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. He's saying people are going to have to give an account before God. Well, now somebody speaks up and says, wait a minute, what about people that don't know you, God? Going down, if you would, to verse 20. For since the creation of the world, since the beginning of time, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. You can look at the world and see that there's a creator. It's not hard to do. You can look at that. You can see it. Being understood by the things that are made. You look at what has been made. Every bit of it says there has to be somebody behind it. In just a while back, all the leaves fell off the trees. In just a few months, they'll all come back. The grass will come back. And you get to get the lawnmower out and cut grass again. It's saying there's somebody that's controlling this. The sun came up. In fact, let me tell you something. You can even take the sun and you can tell exactly when it's going to come up. Some of you could take your phone right now, punch in, it'll tell you when the sun's coming up, it'll tell you when the sun's going down. God's got it all worked out. He's got it all set. It's going to operate that way. God knows what he's doing, and God's operated that. Listen, he goes on here, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You talk about people that have never heard the gospel, that don't know about God. God is saying, the Hebrew writer is saying, look around you and you can see that he's there. Search out and find God. He's not far from you. I think I read that in a book someplace. He's near. God is there. God is the God of this word. He goes on down there in verse 22. He said, professing to be wise, they have become fools. Some people think they're so smart and that this book is so simple. Let me tell you something. God wrote this book to ignorant people to help them to know. One of the greatest problems we have today may be education. We get too smart for our learning. We get too smart for our Bible study. We need to be willing to study the Word of God and find out what it has to say. Now, look at this passage here. For every house is built by someone, but he that builds all things is God. Let me tell you something. When the sword came back to make that second cut, it really made a lot. It's saying there is a God. Atheists cannot explain morality. They cannot explain life. They cannot explain the universe that we live in. There's no way they can do that. With all of their wisdom, they can't do that. It's simply God created it. And don't be ashamed to tell people that. Don't be ashamed to say it. The agnostic that he's not sure, let me tell you something, fella, look around you, because if you don't, you're foolish. Look around you. The evidence is there. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else to say that there's a God. You got everything you need right now. When you talk to people and they say, I'm an atheist, say, oh, you don't believe in God? You don't believe in the God of the Bible? And they'll probably look at you like, oh, you crazy person. What you need to do is say, you ever seen two rocks have babies? You ever seen a top that continually spins and never quits? Help them to understand what it is. There's a lot of people in the world that don't believe. And part of the reason they don't believe is that because they see how we don't believe. If you believe there is a God, if you believe that there's a God in heaven, you must believe that every person is going to have to give an account before that God. And if we do, we need to live in such a way as we can be those people that are glorified and the glory goes to God. When we go to heaven, it's not going to be, oh, Charles, look how great and how wonderful you are. It's going to be how wonderful God is. Because he saved me. Even in all my stupidity, even in all my mistakes, he still loved me, he still saved me. And the glory goes to God. The honor goes to God. Now today, do you believe there's a God? You say, I just sat and listened through you for 35 or 40 minutes. Well, what about your life? Does your life show that you believe in God? Do you live as though there is a God? And if you do, that's great. If you don't, then change. We extend an invitation. It is a tradition, but we want to give everybody an opportunity to think about their soul. We're not going to force you. We're not going to come to the pew and get you. Well, if you can't get up, raise your hand, and I'll come get you. But if there's sin in your life, get it out no matter what you got to do. Believe that word of God. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Turn from your sins and be immersed in water to have your sins washed and cleansed away. Acts 2:38 and on down the book of Acts and a lot of other places too. That's what those people did. If there's sin in your life, repent of it as a Christian, because you have the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been forgiven, and you are to be living that way.